announcements.
Oh, okay. I'll play. Maybe we'll have a very short prayer and praise to be reviewed. Well, good morning and welcome. And goodbye to 2019. How many are glad 2019 is nearly over? How many are really looking forward to next year? That's right. You got a birthday coming. You do look forward to that. That's when you're a kid. Birthdays and Christmas are the best. And although in Lois's family, Easter and Halloween were right up there too. They did a lot of celebrating. Those are good times. Well, goodbye to 2019. Yeah, it's been an interesting year for me and for our family in so many different ways. And thinking through some of those things. Yesterday, I was visiting some relatives in New Hampshire. And where my brother-in-law lives was one of our former church properties there. And we'd gone down for a walk down in the woods. And there was an old wreck of a car down in the woods, probably from the late 40s. And I thought, if that car could tell stories, you know where they are, John, down over the hill? And I thought, there's a lot of history, because at this former church center, my dad went to Bible school there. Just prior, he went from there into World War II, and he told me stories of wood they cut, and they built a big barn there and stuff. And, you know, history is a strange thing. We either learn from it or we what? Repeat it. That's the problem with a lot of life. We don't learn well from our own mistakes or from others' mistakes. But praise God for the Bible. I thank God for Jesus. And as we go to Scripture, we can learn from Scripture and save ourselves a lot of heartaches and headaches if we'll just follow God's word, amen? There's so much to it. So it's out with the old, right? And we have to do out with the old before it's in with the new. There is a sequence, because if you do in with the new without going out for the old, well, I'll show you. It doesn't work. This is not my garage. It's better. Yeah. Yeah, the motorcycle would have been wedged in there too. This guy's blog, and he's a work at home dad. His two young kids are in sports, and I'm going too fast. What can you learn from this picture?
Too many kids.
Actually, he's got two kids, and but what do you see? What do you see? What do you know about them from this picture? They're cluttery. Okay, that's a given. They're active. Look at the different recreational gear that's piled in there, along with Christmas decorations and you name it. And in his blog, and you'll see a couple other follow-up pictures from this one. No, I didn't dare use my garage. Do you know why? Because Lois is sitting here. My wife is sitting here. She would not like you to see the garage it is now. The other problem with doing this sermon is, what do you think I've got to do to my garage now? I'll add some more toys and I'll be good. Well, it's the year-end time, and you know, I think it's funny because you see sales, year-end clearance, and that clearance can not mean much. I'm the type of guy, I like good deals, I like big markdowns. It's funny what's a good deal and what isn't a good deal. So this last few months, I replaced my Suburban. I thought I got a good deal, and I've been very happy. And so when I was visiting family, they hadn't seen it up in New Hampshire, and I said, I really got a good deal on this. My brother-in-law walks me over to this little car he has. He said, I got a good deal on this. This is my commuter car. I said, that's pretty clean. He says, guess what I paid for it? And it was a few years old, had some miles, little Mazda 3. It's a nice little car. I said, I don't know. So I threw out a number, and he shook his head. Nope, you're way off. I said, well, what did you pay for it? He said, $200. I said, $200? $200? I said, what's wrong with it? He said, absolutely nothing. Tires, inspection, body, interior, the guy kept it clean. He's a friend of mine. He called me up and said, I need this out of my garage. And he'd been commuting in a big pickup truck on piling the miles. And he said, you know, it's a five-speed. I said, $200? That's the deal of the decade. That doesn't happen. You can't buy a set of tires for $200. So it's interesting. But he saw that as God's blessing. It was God's goodness, God's favor. And he's known this guy for years, and the guy is not hurting financially. And that was his little commuter car, too. But all of us want this list on my left, your right, you know? We want those. And I thought, I didn't make the graphic, but inspiration is, I would call it our spiritual side. We want a good relationship with Jesus. We want his, we want to sense his presence and his love. But too often, we're over here, aren't we? Same old, same old. We walk through, I walk through my garage, same old. I'm in trouble now because I'm going to have to do the garage. But anyway, so what needs to be cleaned out? Well, Jesus has addressed this, and then we're going to go to the Apostle Paul to see what he talks about it. And if you're familiar with your Bible, these verses are not new to you, but I hope, my prayer is for myself as well as for you, they won't be same old verses, but that through the movement of the Holy Spirit, and the word for spirit is wind or breath, and I think sometimes God has to breathe new life into our hearts. When we have to do CPR for an unresponsive person, it's critical, along with good chest compressions, that we also add what? Oxygen. You do the chest compressions, and then we give them two breaths, and we go on through that. But you need both for a good CPR thing. And it's because even when we're doing that, we're circulating when we're doing the compressions, but we're putting oxygen in, and we need that. And spiritually, we need God's breath, so to speak. We need his spirit moving in our midst, in our hearts, a personal thing. So let's see what Jesus said. Kind of an answer, because the Pharisees thought they had him. Your disciples don't eat with washed hands. They're defiled ceremonially by the law of Moses. They're bad guys. You're a bad guy. And Jesus, and then the disciples said, we don't get this. And it was interesting. One of the commentaries I looked at, the author said, it wasn't that they didn't get it. They didn't like it. And I thought, that's true sometimes with a lot of scripture. It's not that we don't understand it, but boy, it hits close to home, and we don't always like it and want to apply it. So Jesus says to his disciples, are you still also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come a whole lot of bad stuff without Christ's work. Evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a person. These are the things that clutter our souls, that are actually deadly to our souls. And so it's time to get organized. It's time to get organized. Now, some of you are born organizers. Probably, as soon as you could move, you were crawling around the house organizing it. I don't know. And others of us need organizers to help us. I heard a story this weekend. My brother-in-law is an engineer at a large company. And one of his coworkers, he's known for years, the guy has a small department. He has two coworkers, and he said he's absolutely brilliant, but his desk is a disaster. It's just a disaster. But if you walk in and say, I need such and such, he can flip through the pile and pull it out and give you. Well, his two coworkers, this is several years ago, pulled what they thought was a good idea. And after he'd gone home from work, guess what they did? They tried to organize his desk. When he came back in Monday morning, what do you think his response was? Yeah. So organize is a funny word depending on how God wires you. He knew where the stuff was. He knew what to do. But they set them back because now he didn't know where anything was. It was organized to them, but it wasn't organized for him. And when we need to get organized, it's not what, this is the way I think of it, it's not how I want it. But in spiritual reorganization, it's what God is looking for. It's what pleases him. It's, I'm okay with this. I'm pretty comfortable with some of the same old, and God isn't. He's saying, no, we're going to get some organization. So I put it this way. Organization takes three things. First one is what? Prioritizing. What's important, what's actually needed versus what isn't. Now, again, that's very subjective, because if I were to walk through my garage now and Lois would to say, this isn't important, my answer would be, yes, it is. Many things in that garage are important to me. I just and I know where most of them are, but anyway. Two, after you've kind of thought through and looked at it, you actually have to do something. There has to be an action, sorting, removing, keeping. You have to have a determination. And these all kind of blend together. The action plan isn't like you just do steps one, two, three. They're all kind of blend together because you have to have a new plan too. Where are you going to put the stuff? The stuff you keep, what are you going to do with it? How's it going to be organized so it makes sense not just to me but to others that walk into my garage? So Paul helps us with this. Now, I'm the first to say if you're reading Paul's letters for the first time, you would not use organized as the first descriptor because some of Paul's sentences are just weirdly structured and go on and on. I was talking to someone about their spiritual growth not long ago, and I said, you need to spend some time in Paul's letters. And they were very honest with me. They said, I have tried. I'm not wild about Paul's letters. I find them difficult to read. And I said, well, maybe we should do this together because I think if we break it down into his segments, it's more understood. But anyway, this is from one of his prison epistles, Colossians, and he wrote these words. If then you have been raised with Christ, and if you put your faith in Christ, spiritually you are already past resurrection, you are with him. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So how does he do this? Here's the stuff he's saying, get this out of the garage, get this out of your life. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too are also once walked when you were living in them. But, great word there, conjunction. But you must put them all away, along with that other stuff, these emotional responses, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouths. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the things of its creator. Here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but, I love this little phrase, Christ is all and in all. So then, once we're getting the stuff out, when we're organizing, this is what we keep. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and not just a little short add-on, but a critical component, be thankful. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ, and this to me is this the final, I call it, organization. We it's taking care of what you've cleaned out. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So let me see if I can walk you through that passage the way I'm applying it anyway. So Paul's plan, he talks about prioritizing. Why? Because there's stuff to get rid of. There's stuff to get rid of. As I keep reading the Gospels, when Jesus talks to people, there's always stuff to get rid of. And maybe you'll see that when you read through. He does, just like the old hymn says, just as I am without one plea, we can come to Jesus and he accepts us. Absolutely true. But as soon as we meet Jesus, something starts happening. For that chemistry to happen, you meet Jesus, he's in the business of transforming us, changing me, changing you. And he will identify stuff that we need to get rid of. And his list might be different than mine, just as Lois's list might be different from mine in the garage. Jesus may say, I see some stuff that needs to go. And it may be part of my old norm. And he's saying, nope, I want to get rid of it. So he wants to get rid of stuff. And some of the junk that Jesus identifies is not just clutter. It's what? It's dangerous. It's dangerous. The junk that Jesus identifies as junk is dangerous. You know another problem with too much clutter or hoarding? Fire. That literally can happen. You bury all this stuff, you don't know what's in there, you forget what's in there, and you get the right thing of heat and pressure and combustibility, and you get a fire going, and then you'll clean out your garage. Won't be the way you want to do it. Anyone worked with someone after a fire on cleanup? I have, and a couple times I've gone to their homes, not total destruction, but partial destruction after the fire, and boy, what a mess that is. So it's better to just do it this way, because the stuff that Jesus identified that comes out of the heart, that Paul identifies, that's not just clutter. It's deadly stuff. It needs to go. And we need to be obedient to God's word and get rid of it. And that's what that list is. It's the bad stuff. Our culture not only accepts it, but promotes a lot of this stuff. It's promoted. And it's still, we go by God's word, right? It's the Bible that we go by. It's not what everybody else thinks or everybody else does. We go by God's word. So when you do the clean out, this is this other guy. I'm picking on him again. This is one of his kids. This was their curbside treat for the truck when it came. Now, I thought fascinating. He's in a neighborhood. What do the neighbors think? Well, they've probably seen the garage door open, so some of them are driving by and going, what? Finally. What is... Plus, others are driving by and saying, man, it's 3 days before trash day. We got to look at this for 3 days. I don't know. And the kid's waiting for the bus. I don't know if that's a look of happiness or terror or what it is. But anyway, he's waiting for the bus. All that stuff's out there. And just to kill this illustration to death, look what's down at the very end. Can you see us at the very end? Little kid's trikes. So somebody's going to go by and pick that up. And somebody's going to see some really good stuff there and take it home to their messy garage and throw it in there. And on it goes. But you clean out, you got to get rid of it. You got to get rid of it. It's gone. You will live without it, right? We can't live without it. So he gets it out there. So we do the sorting, removing, keeping. But now you must put them all away. Get them out of there. Put off the old self with its practices. Jesus is very, I call it participatory. He wants to be active in my life and in your life in identifying the things that need to go, but he doesn't leave us empty. He wants us to be renewed with the Spirit and grow the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Get that stuff going. Put off the old self and its practices. So the new plan is to put on these other things. And they are. You go to Galatians 5, these are the fruit of the Spirit. But it's amplified in a different way because he says in our relationships, we are to bear with one another. And if we need to, go even further, forgive one another. Put up with one another is one of the translations. I remember talking to another Christian, not this week, several weeks ago, and they were talking to me about relationships. And that verse came to my mind, and I said, well, isn't this part of what Paul means when he says we bear with or put up with one another? Yeah, there's some friction in this relationship, but if it's bad enough so you're really wounded and there's got to be healing, then there has to be confession and forgiveness and acceptance. But if it's just little irritations, don't make a big deal about it. You bear with it and move on, because love does that, right? And when it comes to forgiveness, Paul holds up the almost impossible standard. We are to forgive as in Christ we have been forgiven. And you'll notice that he says you also must forgive, not an option. It's what has to be done. So here's the picture of the redone garage. And he had a couple different pictures, but he bought some what? Cabinets. He bought some cabinets. Now, they may be a disaster inside, but the doors are closed. We can't tell. But probably he's taken the time, or his wife has. They've organized it. They've hung some stuff up. It's a much better system. It's a much safer system. And he is smiling in this picture, which I think is a good thing, because it feels good. But you know this, too. You do some spring cleaning or whatever you're going to do. It feels good to get something under control. And I think spiritually that's there. Not only because we organize the things in our lives, but having our spiritual life much more in harmony with God's design and plan helps us to feel better too. And especially in these three categories, right with God, right with others, and ultimately it means we're right with ourselves. And that's a huge deal when you go to bed at night with everything going on in the world and in your lives, to know you're right with God, you're right with others, and you're right with yourself. That's a beautiful thing, a beautiful thing. And so this is what my garage is going to look like in a week or 2 weeks or in May or never. But anyway, I kind of like this one. I like the cabinets. I like the wallboard. But it gets pricey after a while, too. You got to make some compromises. I can do some in totes, too, and that's a lot cheaper. But it feels good to have it the way you know it could be. I like watching once in a while. I'll go to YouTube and watch Jay Leno's garage. And I know the Bible says don't covet, and I suppose I don't, because his garage is kind of in that other twilight zone. He's got so many nice cars. But he is he's pretty fast. He's organized. And you mostly think of Jay Leno and his TV and comedy, but the guy's a walking encyclopedia on all things antique automotive and motorcycles. So he has studied something that is part of his hobby and put it into practice. And yet how temporary that is. All of that is temporary. And when you and I study the Word of God and we put it into practice in our lives, the difference is that's eternal, eternal, beneficial here and now, but far more beneficial in the future. It's part of discipleship. We are called to be Jesus' followers or students or disciples. All those words are fairly interchangeable. But what's neat since Jesus came is that he also changed our relationship, so we're now his brothers and sisters. We've been adopted into a very special family, God's family. And that's all about relationships, healthy, healing relationships. And that comes right back to where we start. It's all about Jesus being first. So we're going to sing. I'll do a disclaimer. Yes, one, we're going to get done early because I've got to go down and work in my garage. But anyway, we're going to sing a song. Get one more slide. He Shall Reign Forevermore. And you probably, some of you that were here last Sunday said, well, what happened there? And we've talked about it and laughed about it, probably cried about it. Because we want music to be helpful to you, helping you walk in your walk with Jesus. And what happened was, and we still don't have an explanation for it, is the monitor that we watch with the same words that you watch went blank. Just right in the middle of the song, it went total darkness. So at that point, you probably saw all of us immediately, you know, try zooming in on our music, which we haven't been following, and then we have to make a very quick calculated decision, where are we in this music, and what are you looking at? And so anyway, we got through it, so we still don't know what happened. It was, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and we weren't distracted a whole bunch by it. Hopefully you weren't either. So we're going to try it again today. And if the screen goes off at the same place, then we know there's supernatural events happening. I don't know. There's no other explanation. But great song. Jesus reigns now, and he will reign forevermore. And here within a manger lies the one who made the starry skies, this baby born for sacrifice, Christ the Messiah. Into our hopes, into our fears, the Savior of the world appears, the promise of 200 years. When I first heard that bridge part of the song, I went, yeah, this is the Jesus that we know and love and serve, and he's in control. And that gives me faith and courage for the new year. Amen? So stand with us, please. Everything around us is looking pretty crazy. We feel like the disciples out in the boat in the Sea of Galilee, and like, it's all going to sink. It's not working. And then you can walk across all that chaos and say, peace be still. And it's still. And their reaction was right. Who is this that could command nature? Who is this? Well, you're God. That's why. in our lives, all the things that would look like, how do we fix this? How do we deal with this? What do I say here? What do I do here? We can turn to you, our loving Savior, who has given us freely of your Spirit, and say, help me, Jesus. Guide me, Jesus. Show me, Jesus. And you hear those prayers. And again, you answer those prayers. Sometimes we're called to wait. Help us to wait. Sometimes we're called to take action. Clean out some old stuff. Make room for your word, to spend more time in your word. Fill our minds with the truth and the life. That's you, Jesus. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But it's that absorption of your scripture that makes all the difference. And then as we walk, as we receive your grace, then we become grace givers. We walk in a way that encourages and helps others. They start seeing more and more of Jesus in me and in you. And that makes the difference. That makes a huge difference. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Amen? So I didn't know, but we are not having Sunday school or prayer and praise today. Did someone bring snack anyway? We did bring snack. Then let's just go out and have some refreshments, and then I can force you to go to the card rack, which is a wonderful thing. And so let's all go out to fellowship hall, kids and adults. We'll have some refreshments together, and off for the day.